Yeah. Okay, tonight is Wednesday night, March 27th. This is the Women's Mishnah Gemara Share. We are covering topics in Masechah Sukkah.
Okay, Rabotai. Last time we met, which was nearly 3 weeks ago, because of Purim and something else, we started a sugya found in Masechah Sukkah, and the name of the sugya was Baal Tosif. The parameters of trying, of violating the biblical prohibition of adding unto a mitzvah or detracting from a mitzvah. So we had given Rashi's interpretation, who states that the definition of this mitzvah is a very limited one. It does not apply to that which you and I are accustomed to hearing and defining the prohibition of Baal Tosif. The way we are accustomed to hear it is the way the Ramban understood it, namely, you're not permitted to add mitzvah number 614. There are 613 commandments. You can't add anything above and beyond the 613. However, Rashi chose not to interpret it in such a fashion. Rashi believed that it applies only to an existing mitzvah, a mitzvah that is found in the Torah, and that mitzvah has a specific required number in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Because Rashi gave us four illustrations of Baal Tosif. One, that you're not permitted to add and put a fifth min in the lulav. You can't take the hadassim, the aravos, and the lulav and put in whatever your favorite flower happens to be. You can't do that. That violates Baal Tosif. Or, if I were to put in a fifth parsha in my tefillin. Tefillin have four parshiot, I add a fifth parsha. Or on my talis, if I put a fifth fringe, fifth tzitzis, that violates Baal Tosif. If I were a Kohen, or a Kohen who comes to bless us, and he decides after giving the biblical blessings, he decides to add his own blessing. Or another pasuk in the Torah that seems to indicate HaKadosh Baruch Hu is blessing us. So those are mitzvot that have well-defined numbers as part of their fulfillment of the mitzvah. And if you tamper either adding or subtracting of that number, you violate the prohibition of Baal Tosif or Baal Tigra. So there are only a handful of mitzvot for which this applies. There is no way to violate, for example, Baal Tosif for the mitzvah of matzah. Because the mitzvah of matzah doesn't have a number associated with it. So you can't violate Baal Tosif by eating matzah. You can't violate Baal Tosif for most of the mitzvot of the Torah. Can't. Based on the fact that they don't have numbers. It's only a handful of, literally a handful. That was Rashi's opinion. And we mentioned that the Ramban, we saw the Ramban inside, he agrees with Rashi, but he also thinks, Bada la'asot mitzvah. If somebody fabricates another mitzvah, that too is a violation of Baal Tosif. However, if you remember correctly, it is only if you claim that the added mitzvah has a biblical status. If you acknowledge that the mitzvah which you create is of rabbinic origin, that does not violate Baal Tosif. That's why the rabbis have added lots of mitzvot. They told us to read the Megillah. They told us to light Neirot on Hanukkah. They told us to wash our hands before we eat bread. There are many mitzvot mitrabanan. They told us that if you want to carry in the street in Teaneck, New Jersey, you have to put up an Eruv. Okay? That's not a vibe. According to Torah law, you're allowed to carry in the street in Teaneck without anything. Because it's not a public domain. In order for something to be a public domain, it has to have four characteristics. It has to be 16 feet wide. It has to be 16 amot wide, about 24 feet wide. It has to be straight, going through the entire town, pretty much in a straight line. And the public has to have access to it at all times. That was our three criteria. If that were the case, that would be the case, Cedar Lane would be a biblical Rishut HaRabim, public domain. Cedar Lane goes from, let's say, from River Road to Teaneck Road or beyond, straight, there are no turns. The public has access to it all the time, and it's more than 24 feet wide. That's what Rambam says. Now, if Cedar Lane would be a Rishut HaRabim d'Oraita, we would never be able to carry in Teaneck simply by putting up our Eruv. Because you would need walls to enclose a biblical public thoroughfare, would have to be enclosed by real walls. Our little poles and wires across would not be effective. But we believe that there is a fourth criteria, which Rashi cites. Thank God the Shulchan Aruch followed Rashi. He normally doesn't, he always follows the Rambam, but Rashi, that you need 600,000 people trespassing on that street on a daily basis to become a public thoroughfare. 600,000. So there are very few biblical Rishuyot HaRabim in this world. Broadway is, no doubt. Okay, so that's why a lot of people don't accept the Eruv.
Though the island thing, it's the island here.
Good. So when you have the island thing, it's getting a little off the track, but it's important to know. If the island thing could work, but the mere fact that it's an island does not allow you to carry. What happens is like this. If there is a slope from ground level to water level of 10 amot within a certain distance, I don't want to get too technical, then it is considered as if there is a wall around the city. Because the definition of a wall, of a mechitza, is 10 tfachim. All you need is 10 tfachim, 40 inches. So if the slope of the banks of New York City were to slope down from land level to sea level or river level, a distance of 10 tefachim, everybody would say you're allowed to carry in New York City because there is a wall around it. In fact, Effie Buchwald from Lincoln Square took Rabbi Schechter in a rowboat and to see whether or not it is indeed, it doesn't have that slope. And it doesn't, it has it in a lot of places, but not all of the places. So in order to carry, what you have to do is that, so then you stop. So what some people who do carry in various parts of Manhattan relied on a brilliant stroke of genius of Rabbi Tendler. Rabbi Tendler said the following. The halacha is that the walls which you establish have to be re'uyot lin'ol. Re'uyot lin'ol. Mazel re'uyot. Theoretically possible to lock it up, to really enclose the area. So what they did was, they got permission from the city to take lampposts, drill into the lamppost, and put in extendable nets. A net that can be pulled out from a lamppost and it reaches till the end of the block to the next lamppost. Once just from one block to the next, to enclose whatever area they wanted to enclose. So if the Lincoln Square area wants to enclose, let's say, from, where do they do it from? 70th Street or 60th Street till 80th Street, wherever they do, and from West End Avenue, Riverside Drive to where, till Broadway, till the park, I think they do, to Central Park. That's what they did. Now, it has to be ri'uyot lino, theoretically possible to lock. So they got permission from whoever the mayor was at that time, 4:15 a.m., Christmas morning, when there's not many people out on the street, and those who are probably won't know the difference. And what they did was, they open up those nets and lock up that area. No car, no person could get in and out from 4 to 4:15 a.m. At 4:15, they unlock it, they put the nets back in, and they say, see you next Christmas.
Do they do it manually, each net?
Each net is done I think manually. So that creates the wall effect. That's nice. Very nice. Yes. So, Rabbi Tanya, it was his idea. What? Wherever they have, if they want to do it properly, that's the way to do it properly. I'm not sure how, what they do. I would imagine they do the same thing on the east side, where they say there's an Eruv. No problem. So, and, you know, if local rabbis tell, you know, I trust local rabbis. If they said there's an Eruv, it's okay, you know. So, so we would have to do the same thing in Teaneck. But there aren't 600,000 people. So it's not a public thoroughfare. It's only what's called a carmelite, and you're not allowed to carry only midrabanan. So the rabbanan said, you put up what we call a tzurat hapetach, something that looks like a door, by putting a pole here and a pole there and a wire across. That's all we do around the perimeter. You can walk around the perimeter, Eruv, and you will see the lechis, you'll see the wire that's up on the top, it's usually one of the phone pole wires, and that's what we use in order to create our Eruv. But we make a bracha on it. And that, because the rabbi said, that's the mitzvah which you have to do. But they acknowledge it's only midrabanan, and therefore it doesn't violate Baal Tosef. That's the parameters which we saw thus far. Tonight, we're going to see another contingency upon which the halacha of Baal Tosef might revolve around. A very famous halacha, and we'll see how the Gemara applies this to violating Baal Tosef. And the example which the Gemara will give is for us in Chutz La'aretz. Hayash, or no, not in Chutz La'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael. Hayashen Bishmini Loke. Somebody who sleeps in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret in Israel will get lashes. Under what? Because he violated Baal Tosef. We will see under what circumstances that will be true. So take page number one. And it's, I bracketed, it's on the bottom. Sholchu le'avua de Shmuel. A message was sent to Shmuel's pop, la'avua de Shmuel. I'm not quite sure why they don't identify him by name, other than always referring to him as avua de Shmuel. I would imagine, because if they're quoting him, he must have been a Talmudic scholar, but I would imagine that he became totally uncommitted, irreligious, and they did not want his name quoted in the Gemara, so they quoted him just like Acher. His name is Elisha ben Avuya, but we call him Acher because he rejected everything. But he was a big Talmud Chacham, and we quote him in the Gemara quite frequently. Shofu le'lavua de Shmuel. Kaf'o v'ochal matzah yatzah. If somebody coerces you to eat matzah on Pesach at night, you are yotzeh. asks the Gemara, Kaf O Man, who coerced you to eat the matzah? Elema Kaf O Shade, if a spirit, a demon, forced you to eat the matzah, well then you're not going to be Yotzei the Mitzvah. Because if you were overpowered by demons, halachically, you are considered a shote, somebody who doesn't have any mental intellect, and you are exempt from all mitzvot. So you can't fulfill a mitzvah at a time when you are mentally impaired. So the Gemara says, V'hatanya, we learned in a brisa, itim chalim, itim shote, if somebody is at times healthy, chalim healthy, itim shote, why is he shote? Because it appears he's behaving in a bizarre fashion and little demons have attacked him. Under those circumstances, kishuhu chalim, hareu kipikeach l'chol dvarav. When he's healthy, he's healthy. And he's chayev in all mitzvot. Kishuhu shote, however, when he's overtaken by these demons, hareu kishote l'chol dvarav. He's like a shote, somebody who's mentally impaired. And when you're mentally impaired, you're not chayav in any mitzvah. So even if he ate the mitzvah, even if he ate the matzah, he didn't fulfill the mitzvah because he wasn't obligated at that particular moment. And when he gets healthy, he has to eat matzah again. So that can't be the case of who coerced him. Little demons.
It's a good description of mental illness. Like
yes.
Very depressed.
100%. But we don't look at it as a demon.
Right,
because somebody was coercing him. Right, the reason why they said, because it says somebody was coercing him. Elam Aravashi, Shekafur Parsiim, Persians did it. People, a Gentile came over to you, crushed up a Kizayis Amata, and shoved it down your throat. So, Abu the Shmuel asked him the question, what is the halacha? What is the halacha? So, what do you think this depends on? Good. This is one of the famous sources of the discussion whether or not mitzvot, srichot, kavana or not. When you perform a mitzvah, must you be aware of the fact that I'm doing so l'shem mitzvah? Or need you not be aware of the fact when I am performing a mitzvah that I'm doing it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked me to do it? That's the debate. So that was the question posed to Abu the Shmuel. Now, Shmuel said, it says the last word of that sentence, if you go back to the line right after the bracket, kaf over achol matzah yotza. He is yotza. So what conclusion do you reach? Do you require kavanah for mitzvot? No, you don't. Omar Rava, three lines in the bottom. Zot omeret, this now teaches me, Hatokeya Lashir Yatsa. That if somebody blows the shofar, not for the purpose of the mitzvah, but he blows the shofar for what reason? To produce musical sound. He's going to play a nice melody with his shofar. But instead of playing the melody, what sound did he produce? Tkia, Shvar, Drua, Tkia. That's what he produced. So Rava says, apparently you would be Yotzei based on the fact that he just said that if somebody coerces you to eat matzah, you are Yotzei. I'll say the same thing by shofar too. What? Doesn't say b'di'evet. Yes.
That's not necessary to make a bracha for both of those who are supposed to
eat the bracha. Good. It's an excellent point. One of the reasons why the rabbis instituted making a bracha for a mitzvah is to make sure that you have kavanah. So this Gemara is talking about you did not make a bracha. And a bracha, the absence of a bracha, never precludes you from fulfilling a mitzvah. Never.
So if you lit candles Friday night and you forgot to say the Hadagash of Shabbos, you'll yoke say the mitzvah of lighting candles. If you leave matzah and forget to say Alachilas matzah, you are yotze the mitzvah of Achilas matzah. Because the bracha is never ma'at. Now, Rava's statement is going to be challenged in 1 second. Tell me why. Let's assume his name was not Rava. His name was any of your names. Joy. I like to pick up. That's a book. Joy. You mean to tell me Joy couldn't have said this? She could have. Certainly Abiba would have said. There's no doubt. It's an exact comparable case. You did the action of the mitzvah. You didn't have in mind to perform the mitzvah. You had in mind something else, but you did the mitzvah. Ask him, what did your rubber to tell me? Oh, my rubber, zot onere. Wow. Like we say in Yiddish, I'm decked America. Discovered America. That this case is comparable to blowing shofar when your intent is to produce musical sound. I asked him, what's wrong? Why are you rubber? Pshita! It's simple. Any Tom, Dick, Harry, and Sam could have come to that same conclusion. So the Gemara said, I could have thought that food is different. I answered the Gemara, Mao the same ahasam echol matzah omarachmana, the ha'acha. I could have thought that this halacha of Shmuel's pach only applies to food. Only applies to food. And Rashi will explain why I would have thought it only applies to food. Because there is another area of halacha where food is an exception to the rule. And the case is called mit'aseh. Mit'aseh. Here is the definition of mit'aseh. You engage in what you think is a permissible activity, and you wind up doing something prohibited. You thought you were doing something permissible, and you wound up doing something totally prohibited. So I'm going to give you the illustration found in the Talmud of the case of mit'aseh. It's in Hilchos Shabbos. What's happening? I love chocolate. But I'd like a tomato with it on Shabbos morning. So on Friday afternoon, I went out to my tomato patch and I cut a couple of tomatoes off. And I left them there. I said, got distracted, whatever it is. Next afternoon, Shabbos afternoon after davening, I come out to get my already cut tomato. I bend down to pick it up, and lo and behold, the one that I picked up was still attached to the ground. So what did I do? What was my intention? My intention was to do something permissible. You are allowed to take an already plucked tomato off the ground. No prohibition. What did I wind up doing? I didn't wind up. I wound up being Mechal Shabbos. Because I plucked a tomato. That's Tolesh. Or Kotzer. That's Kotzer. It's one of the 39 Melachot. The Halacha is, certainly I am not deserving of any punishment in Beit Din. You don't get stoned for that. I don't even have to bring a Kor Mechatos. Yes. A shogeg is where I knew I was taking the uncut tomato, but I forgot that it was Shabbos, or I didn't know what that is asur, that you're not allowed to be kotzer. That generates a korban chatas. That's a shogeg. But here I am puttered from everything. I am called a misaser. Misaser. That's the category of misaser. So in all areas of Jewish law, a misasek is patur completely. With the exception, actually two exceptions, I'm only going to deal with one. Chalovim. Chalovim. Chalev. Prohibited fat. There are certain fats that you're not allowed to eat. I couldn't tell you which ones. I'm not a butcher. A butcher is trained in engaging in activity called traberin. Traberin is removing the prohibited fat. Some fat you're allowed to eat. The haraya, look at the piece of meat that you eat, there's some fat on. And we don't throw a piece of meat out. Traberin, fat. So now I go over to a piece of meat. And I think the fat on that meat happens to be of the kosher variety. Just for your for edification purposes, when you stand online tomorrow in Grand Essex, it's called permissible fat is called shuman. Shamein fat, shuman is permissible. Prohibited fat is identified as chayv. So I have a piece of meat, I thought it was shuman. And then I wound up eating something that was chaylev. Now, it should follow the pattern of cutting the tomato. What was my intention? To eat something permissible. What did I wind up doing? I wound up eating something that is prohibited. So the halacha is, I'm chayev karm chatas. Only by halacha. Shekein nehenet. Because you have pleasure. There's no pleasure out of picking up a tomato. Not pleasure.
It just goes with fat, not all food?
Only by food. All food. I thought it was a kosher piece of meat, and it turned out to be nevela. Or trefa. The reason why I give fat as the illustration, because we're dealing with the karm chatas. If you eat nevela meat b'shoge, you don't bring karm chatas. If you eat trefa meat, because in order to be chayav a korban chatas, had you done it the mezid, there would be a death penalty. For trefa and the veil of meat, there is no death penalty. So where there is, it's only lashes. Wherever there is no death penalty, had you done it deliberately, the mezid, if you do it the shoge, there is no korban chatas. Yes. Dabashena Miskavim is when you do an activity and you might violate the prohibition and you might not. There's no guarantee. That's the famous case of I'm having lunch in the backyard on Shabbos. I don't have enough chairs and I don't want to carry it, so I drag a chair along the dirt in my backyard. It might dig a hole and might not dig a hole. That's called davishin in the sky. That's mutal khatir. Here, your intention was only to do a permissible activity. That's the same thing as davishin in the sky. But the net result was I only did something prohibited, guaranteed. It was only it was chayla. When you do the action by a davishin in the sky, the melacha might be done, might not be done. In this case, it's definitely going to be done. I just didn't think it was something prohibited. So I could have thought, says the Gemara, that the reason why I am yotzei the mitzvah of matzah without mitzvot tzrichas kavanah, without kavana, because I have hanocha. Just as I will be chayev a korban chatas when I didn't intend to violate the law, I intended to eat shuman, kosher meat, kosher fat. And I wound up eating non-kosher because I derived benefit, I would have to bring the karma chatas. So maybe here as well. Even if I had no kavana to eat matzah, since I benefited from digesting it, I will get credit for the mitzvah. But tkiya shofar, I could have thought, is a mitzvah that's not called eating. And if it's not called eating, I could have thought that what? That you have to have kavanah. Therefore, who did I need to tell me that even by shofar you need kavana? You don't need kavana. Who did I need?
Joy wasn't enough.
I needed what? I needed rubber, the Aramaic sage. That's what the Gemara says. Fine.
Good. I want to skip a little and get to what's relevant to us. Go now to page number 2. What the Gemara does in the interim is question, bring other cases where it appears you hold mitzvah srichas kavana, and the Gemara rejects the rejection, the attempt to reject. So right now, we're at the stage in the Gemara where what?
Mitzvot ein srichot kavana. So if somebody in 3 weeks will take a kezayis mat and shove it down your throat, you will not be fulfilled the message. Somebody takes out a shofar to blow and play Yankee Doodle, instead of Yankee Doodle, Tekiah Shvarim Truma Tekiah came out, he fulfills the message. Now you might, yeah.
Back to the tomato response, Evan. Is it similar at all to if you open up the refrigerator and light bulbs on your bottles off or tell you
not? No. No. No, that would be like the sausage. Yes. Yes. I thought I was doing something without a problem. But the light's off. And I wound up, the light was on. Yes, it's a misasa question. Yes. You didn't violate anything.
And does this help to do with that person?
What?
I mean, this is part of our direction.
Yeah. Now I'm going to get to the other part of the point.
It's not making sense.
Misasid. Mem, tov, ayin, samach, kuf. Mid-aseh. It's on the top line of the Gemara. Bahai, taku. Asuk. I'm preoccupied. I'm busy with something. I'm doing something else. I wasn't doing an aveira. Now go to the bracketed lines about the third way down. Omele Abaye. So Abaye said to his good friend Rava, Omele Abaye, Elo Me'akta. Now that you, Rava, have posited that mitzvot ain't srichot kavana, hayoshen bishmini b'sukkah yilokan.
Meaning,
if I go into a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres in the Holy Land of Israel, because it's 99 degrees in my house, it's 140 degrees in my house, I'm schmaltzing in my house, and I go into the sukkah, I have no intention of violating the prohibition of adding on to the mitzvah of sukkah. After all, how long are we obligated to eat in the sukkah? What does the Torah say? Basukot teishmu shinat yamin. You're sleeping in your sukkah. So now tell me what's running through Abaye's mind. If I hold mitzvot ein srichot kavana, what's going to happen to me, even if my purpose in entering my sukkah was just to escape the uncomfortable heat?
Same.
I'm
going to
violate the law. Exactly.
Can't have it both ways.
That's why the Gemara brings this in. And creates the assumption that if I were to paskin mitzvot srichot kavana, then what would be the only way in which you can violate Baal Tosef? What would be the only way that
you
intend? If you intend, if you have in mind. Why am I going into the sukkah now? Because I want to fulfill the mitzvah on the 8th day of Sukkot. But if I don't have that intention, if I hold mitzvot srichot kavana, I will not violate the law of Baal Tosef.
So what the Gemara is attempting to do at this point is to apply the parameters of mitzvot srichot or ein srichot kavana to the violation of Baal Tosef. That if you hold mitzvot ein srichot kavana and you can perform a mitzvah being as an airhead, not knowing what you're doing, then
an airhead will violate Baal Tosef as well. As soon as you engage in the action of adding on to a mitzvah, whether it is your desired effect to do so or not, for the mitzvah makes no difference. But if I hold mitzvot tzrichot kavana, under those circumstances, the parallel will be that I can only violate Baal Tosef if I had intention to add onto the mitzvah. Intention to add onto the mitzvah. What? Okay. But let's assume, even if without the lesha, again, the Gemara is not concerned with the bracha. I didn't make a bracha. So let's read it again. Amalei Abaye, Elo Meyaka, now that you, Rava, have confirmed for me that mitzvot ein tzrichot kavana, hayoshein bishmini, the sukkah, yilokeh, somebody who sleeps in the sukkah, not intending to violate Baal Tosef, will get lashes. For he or she has violated, not can't be she, it has to be he, because women are not obligated against the sukkah, they can't be ruled Baal Tosef.
Unless
he's
doing something instead
of that command. What was that for? No, that's adding another mitzvah, number 614. So, Rava is not happy with that analogy. And he says, Omar lo, so Rava said to his good friend Abaye, I think you're wrong. Sha'ani over mitzvot eino over alehen ela bizmanan. Only, what does that mean? Mitzvot eino over alehen ela bizmanan. What does Rava now say? That the only way that you can violate what? Baal Tosef. The only way in which you can violate Baal Tosef is if the mitzvah is in effect. In this case, Sukkot is over. Shmini Atzeres is not Sukkot for the mitzvah. So no matter what your intention is, no matter what I hold, you will never, ever violate Baal Tosef by going into the Sukkot on Shmini Atzeres. Because Rava says you can only violate Baal Tosef if the mitzvah is applicable. Let's read it inside Rashi, because Rashi says it clearly. I bracketed the Rashi for you. Ela me'ata. Now that you, Rava, have said, the she'ein mitkaven le'mitzvah, ki mitkaven gami, that we don't have any kavanah to perform a mitzvah, it's as if you did have kavanah, because I hold mitzvot ein tzrichot kavanah. Hayashen b'shmini, b'sukkah, somebody who sleeps in the sukkah on the eighth day, shelo l'shum mitzvah, not for the purpose of doing a mitzvah, yilakeh, will get lashes. Shaharei mosif al mitzvah, because he's adding onto a mitzvah, ve'over b'shum baal tosef. Correct. In this case, says Rashi, mitzvot ein over alehen b'baal tosef ela bizmanan. Rava is of the opinion that in order to violate baal tosef, the mitzvah has to be operative. Keep going, says Rashi. Chameshet aminim belulav. I put in a what's your favorite flower?
Iris.
Who?
Iris.
Iris. You put it in iris. Okay. Into the lulav.
It's the right shape.
Now, when did you do this?
Oh, you have to do it
during the 7 days of Sukkot. Right. But you put one in after Sukkot. Who cares?
What if you put in just more of the same? Would that be?
That's a different discussion. That we're going to get to that. That's a famous machlokes on Rishonim and an incredibly difficult Rambam. With a Rambam, what about if you add number of minim the same kind? So, take for example, if you take two lulavim, two esrogim, three arahot, you will violate Baal Tosif according to the Rambam, except for Hadassah. Lubavitch have 18 hadassim in their lulav, and it's almost impossible to figure out why hadas is an exception to the rule. All the others you violate Baal Tosif. We'll see. We're not ready for it yet. So Rambam says, Rashi says, "Mivaltos elav is not kivaltosin belulav." Vehei totafot b'tfilin. I added a fifth parsha in tfilin. When would I have to add the fifth parsha in tfilin? During the day, because at night there was no mitzvah tfilin.
Wait, but if you added them in, but you didn't put them on,
I didn't put. What if I put them on or not? I'm not going to violate anything.
No, I mean, during the day, if you add in an extra portion,
you violate Baal Tosif, whether you wear it or not. Exactly. Chamesh tzitziyot b'talus. If I put a fifth fringe on talus, also only during the day. At night, there's no mitzvah to wear tzitzis.
And again, whether you wear it or not.
Correct. Whether you wear it or not.
But not adding to the fourth fringe. That's where you're just right. That are there.
Good. That's good. Can you put in more than eight strings? Good. That's going to be a different machlokes. Avo tosefes yom al yomim o sha'a al sha'a ein zeh mosif. Rav is of the opinion adding a day onto a mitzvah or adding an hour onto a mitzvah. So, for example, tefillin and tzitzis are only during the day. I'm going to say I'm going to wear tefillin at night. That's not Baal Tosif.
It's like we make Shabbos early.
Okay, that's a good question. That's a very good question. How do you make Shabbos early? Is that so? The Gemara would answer your question. When is the only time you can have Baal Tosif according to Rashi?
It's not actually Shabbos.
When it's really Shabbos, which the Torah mandates. You want to add on to Shabbos before? That's okay. Because it's not the real required time.
Adding time would always have to be when it's not the required time. That's the
key. That's correct. That's what Rashi says. Any time, yom or sha'ah, is never a possibility of Baal Tosif. That is correct. That's a good, yes, that's a good illustration of why it's not Baal Tosif.
If you rejected this argument, it wouldn't have been a problem wearing a towel.
Yes. Of course he would. That is correct. Apparently we don't.
Men don't
take them off at night. That is correct. They don't. Apparently adding on to time is not considered Baal Tosif. Yes. Good illustration. I didn't take off my tzitzis yet. Now. You know I'm not beginning the kind of mitzvah. Because adding of time is not Baal Tosif. That's correct. That's what Abaye says. That's what Rav said to Abaye. But the Gemara is going to challenge this from another case. Omar, Masiv Rav Shmon Bar Abba. Rav Shmon, the son of Abba, asked the following case. Minayin Lekomein She'olem Leduchan Shelo Yomar Ho'il V'nitni L'Rishus L'Vareich Et Yisrael Osif Bracha Achat M'Sheli. How do I know that a Kohen should not say to himself, since God gave me the license to bless everybody, I'm going to add another bracha? How do I know we shouldn't do that? Talmud Lomar, lo tosifu al hadavar. Don't add on to anything. Now, how did he want to violate? After what? After he already did the Birchat Kohanim. So after he said, Shalom, instead of getting down, he said, the Gemara quotes a pasuk of Hashem Elohei Avoseichem Yosef Alechem Kachem Vivarech Etchem Kasher Diber Lachem.
But that's not the same, because that's not a it's not time bound.
Sure, it's time bound. He's finished. Okay, it's no, not exact. It's good. Same. Good. So what's the questioner? What's the questioner thinking? So now put your comment aside, which is the answer perhaps, and tell me what's running through his mind. Tell me what's running through the questioner's mind. That if the mitzvah is done already, what is it not considered any longer? It's not, let's give you the prelude. It's not the time any longer for doing the mitzvah. The time for this mitzvah has expired.
He's not doing the adding to Birkat Kohanim. He's just saying another bracha. Okay, but he's Birkat Kohanim.
He is.
Birkat is over. Now he's just...
But what is that's good! Right? And yet the Gemara says... That what can he do that? He's not allowed to. He will violate Baal Tosif for adding that fourth bracha. Even though you correctly stated that what? Birkat Kohanim is over. As soon as he says, V'yaseh lecha shalom. So what's running through the questioner's mind challenging the previous premise? The mere fact that a mitzvah is done does not preclude you from violating Baal Tosif. Does not preclude you from violating Baal Tosif.
But by Rashi's definition, he wouldn't be. Because he would add another bracha to the same thing. It's a new thing now.
I know. That, and he violates it.
Right, right, right.
The question is, according to a Rabbah's response, you can only violate Baal Tosif while the mitzvah is active. So how would you violate when the mitzvah is still active and violate Birchat Kohanim? Inserted something, what?
In the middle.
Good. He said, Yivorech. He said, Ya'er Hashem. Before he starts Yisah Hashem, he put in his own little bracha. That would be the only time.
Is it but also that he's standing?
No, he's standing there. He's standing there. He's a klutz. He didn't come down. But he's allowed to come down as soon as he finished.
I understand.
Yeah, I know. It's a good suggestion. I'm not saying no. Yeah.
When you say the time for the mitzvah is over, I mean, he might walk out of that opinion, and then there might be another opinion that says, hey, wait a minute.
That's the Gemara's next question. Excellent. I'll repeat it. Excellent. No. Naomi will repeat it in a second. Let me just give you the background. So the Gemara here now says, that since the halacha is that after he finished all of the brachot, he added another one, you challenge the original premise. The premise is, if the mitzvah is over and done with, such as Shmini Atzeres, the mitzvah is over and done with, you can't violate Baal Tosif. Well, here, the mitzvah is over and done with, not by virtue of passage of time, but why is the mitzvah over and done with? Because he completed it. He said all three brachot and said shalom. So according to your rule, you should not violate Baal Tosif because the mitzvah is over and done with. Why does the Gemara say you do violate Baal Tosif? Apparently, even if a mitzvah is over and done with, can you violate Baal Tosif? Yes! That's the Gemara's question of Rav Shmuel. So the Gemara is going to answer and say, no. Now they only say what you said, because that's exactly what the Gemara says.
Because it's still the time of the mitzvah.
Good.
It's still
the Birkat Kohanim time is still applicable. It can be done any time during the day. So if this Kohen blessed us, and now another minion comes into shul, and he's sitting there playing cards, and now they're up to, let's say, What does he have to do? He's got to go up to the bima, take off his shoes again, and bless the next minute. So the mere fact that he blessed one kehilah does not necessarily mean his mitzvah is done. And that poses no challenge to my rule. What was my original rule? If the mitzvah is done, you can't violate Baal Tosfos. So when it's after Sukkot and it's Shmini Atzeres, that the mitzvah is done.
Is it the passage of time?
Who cares? As long as it seems to be, as long as the mitzvah is done, and it often coincides with the passage of time. It often coincides with the passage of time. But I'll give you an illustration. Okay? I'm going to withdraw that illustration in a second. I ate a piece of matzah. Okay? When have I completed the mitzvah? As soon as I ate one kizayim. That's it. So you mean to tell me, Pesach at night, you're not allowed to eat the second kizayim of matzah? That's Baal Tosef? No. Why is it not Baal Tosef? It's because the mitzvah is done. Even though the time has not yet passed, you still can fulfill the mitzvah of matzah until daybreak, or at least till midnight, for sure. So, why don't you violate Baal Tosef? Because for you personally, this mitzvah is done. You can eat 50 kizesim of matzah, you don't get another mitzvah. So there's no Baal Tosef, even though there is no passage of time for that. Same thing would be by taking a lulav. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of lulav? You pick it up and that's it. Does that mean I can't pick it up a second time? You can, but you don't violate Baal Tosef. You can pick it up all day. You don't violate Baal Tosef. Because for you, the mitzvah is done. And once you are done, you can't violate Baal Tosef. The Kohen is not done. He's done blessing this audience. But the halacha is, any time that there is a kehilah that is up to Birchat Kohanim, and there is a Kohen in the audience, that Kohen has to come up and bless. If he were to go ahead and just sit there like a klutz, let's say during Yantif, he doesn't want to do it, he's lazy. He violates an asay. He violates a mitzvah. For not blessing us. Torah says, Amar Lahem, he is to bless us. And if he doesn't, he violates and misses us. Yeah.
So how does a Kohen do that, like,
Shachar
at the Kotel, when there were zillions of minions? You could get stuck there for hours.
Yeah.
There are a lot of Kohanim.
Mm-hmm. But just check out of it. If you're going to sit there like some of those guys, sit there all day, if they are Kohanim, they're going to be duchening lots of. That's what they want to do. They want to answer Kedusha 50 times. Uh-huh. They want that. Why else would you say it? Oh, besides the left mind. Yeah.
Okay. So,
Kavanah,
back in. So let's say he did hear Kaskali. Now he wants to give the Kehilah a bracha. So you have to just give the Kehilah bracha, stop down that bracha.
No.
He's not allowed to give a bracha.
He violated, even if he had no intention to. Because
he can't bless the congregation.
No. No, he can't. Sure he can, sit there by his seat. But he can't stand up in the surah of Birchat Kohanim. He can't add his own bracha. That's correct. Even though he did his mitzvah already. Because his mitzvah is not completely done. Until the end of the day. Correct. His mitzvah is to bless any kehilah that is available to be blessed.
But in the right way, in a circumscribed.
Correct.
In a circumscribed. Free form.
Correct. 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 So that's the response to Rav Shmon. Rav Shmon asked, how could you, Rava, defend yourself by claiming that a mitzvah, that Baal Tosef you will violate only when the mitzvah is operative? If the mitzvah is over, you can't violate Baal Tosef. And that's why when you sleep in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret, you will not get Malchus says, Rava, you won't. So why is it that a Kohen will get Malchus if he added another bracha? So Gemara answers, because his mitzvah is not yet done. So even though he said it once to one kehilah, he has an obligation to do it again. And as a result, his mitzvah is still operative. If his mitzvah is still operative under those circumstances, adding a fourth bracha would be a violation of Baal Tosef, but sleeping in the sukkah would not. Because that mitzvah has come to a grinding halt as soon as Shmini Atzeres was welcomed. And in fact, I'm not going to read it inside, but I'll give you another illustration which the Gemara gives. And you'll see the similar principle to this. The Gemara deals with the bizarre situation in the Beit HaMikdash where the blood of a korban, I think I mentioned this last time, the blood of a korban got mixed up with another korban. Remember that? Good. So there is one type of korban that is sprinkled only once on this day. Another korban requires four sprinklings of the on the mizbeah. So if they got mixed up, so there's a machloikis, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shul, what you should do. Forget about what that case is like. Now, if you believe that once a mitzvah is done, you can violate Baal Tosef. You can violate Baal Tosef. So one of the opinions is, if you have this blood that mixed up and you're not sure which one, you should sprinkle it four times. Why do you think you should sprinkle it four times? Because in case it's the korban that required four times. So what happens if it was
doing it?
Right. But if what happens if it was the korban that only needed one sprinkle?
So
now you're overdoing it. Well, when has the mitzvah of that korban been finished? After one sprinkling. So if it's one sprinkling, why would he violate Baal Tosef for adding the other? Because it's over.
Wait, why is it only like one sprinkling?
Because the other korban only needs one sprinkle.
Oh, I thought it was two.
And we got mixed up. We don't know which blood I'm holding.
Yeah.
So the Gemara answers the same thing. The Kohen's not finished with his mitzvah of sprinkling with this korban. What happens if there's another guy who comes into the Beis HaMikdash? And he's on duty. He has to sprinkle once again. So what's the problem? The mitzvah's not over yet. That's my point. That's the point of that Gemara's illustration. The mitzvah's not done yet. Why? Because if there is another audience, he has to perform the work again. So, since the mitzvah is not done, if that korban only required one sprinkle, and he sprinkled it with four, what will he violate? He'll violate Baal Tosef. Because the mitzvah has not yet been completed. Yes, for this limited korban, he has finished his mitzvah, but he's not finished with mitzvot, because he's still working in the Beit HaMikdash. When does the day come to an end?
At
nightfall. Yeah.
So could he, since he doesn't know, could he just slaughter another animal and then he knows what blood it is? Or is
and mix them up together?
No.
You can't? No. No. Each korban is related to its blood. And if you mess up the sprinkling, you mess up the whole animal. The whole korban. Number one, no one's allowed to eat from it, who was scheduled to eat. Number two, the person who brought the korban has not discharged his or her obligation. It's not just doing a blood sprinkling. It's doing a blood sprinkling from that korban.
It's expensive.
Right, so that's why I'm saying.
Slaughtering another korban is not going to accomplish anything with this korban. It's not going to rectify it. So if this korban that was blood, we didn't know whether it was a four or a one, the Gemara proposes that if you were to resolve to sprinkle four, you would possibly violate the prohibition of Baal Tosef. because it only required one sprinkling on the mistake. And you can't say that the mitzvah is done with, because if another guy comes to the Beit HaMikdash, he has to sprinkle again. So his mitzvah hasn't been completed yet.
All right, we'll stop here, and we will continue.